The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
It is so good to be reminded of the work of God that is happening all around the world, specifically in Mongolia. To be reminded that as we enter into the series of Lamentations and we think about what we're lamenting, that there, much of the world is lamenting. And we, as we enter into our Lamentations, it's just been so wonderful. And what a gift it has been to pause in this time, in this season, and be given permission to lament, to be given permission to grieve the things that are happening in our lives and in our world. And I don't know if you had a chance to be with us last Sunday, but last Sunday was a gift from the Lord. I mean, as Pastor Denise shared, and the tech team and the service team and the music team led us so wonderfully, we were really able to encounter the Lord. I had a conversation with a man who actually was an update, and he lost his wife a few years ago, and he was carrying so much shame because he felt like he had never really been able to grieve his wife's loss. And last week, as he was able to come to the cross and lay his lament, he said, "I felt like I got some healing. I was able to grieve." So if you have a chance to participate in that service, we'd encourage you online, please, please, engage and participate, because it was a gift to be able to enter into lament together. And as we carry on in the series, we're going to be looking at a few different things in Lamentations. And as Pastor Denise read part of it to us, you recognize that this is a group of people. The people of God are suffering. They've got a lot of pain, a lot of grief, and they're crying out. And at the same time, we encounter in the book of Lamentations the people of God's sin, their rebellion against God. And God has come and has said, I have to discipline you. And today, what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at when the Lord disciplines, what does it look like? And I was thinking about that and thinking, well, this is not really a popular topic. Right? If I had a top 10 on the things that I would like to preach on, this would not make the top 100. But yet the Word of God comes to us today from the book of Lamentations. And we know discipline's important. Many of you know I'm a parent, and we have three little ladies. And they're wonderful. But I know that if they are going to grow into the women that God has called them to be, if they're going to be the little humans that the Lord has asked of them to say no to selfishness and say yes to loving God and loving others, to living so that the city of Red Deer in Central Alberta would flourish, it's going to mean at times that we have to discipline them. And like parenting kids, God wants us to grow into maturity. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says something along the lines of this: you will know that you are legitimate children of God if you are disciplined. He also says in Hebrews 12, he says, and that discipline, although none of us enjoy it, although it is painful at a time, God uses the discipline to produce a harvest of righteousness and ultimately peace. And so when we come to Lamentations today, we're seeing that God is dealing with his people because ultimately he wants them to grow in maturity. Ultimately, he wants them to flourish. And that is where we pick up our passage, our weighty passage today. And so I would like to read it to you, and then we'll spend a little bit of time talking about what the Lord has to say to us through Lamentations. Now, as you come to a book like Lamentations, it's a different book than most. It's a book of poetry. And the thing about poetry, if you like poetry or you don't like poetry, poetry is meant to be read slow so that you can understand the metaphors. It also is not rational. It's not rational. Poetry is all heart. The rational side of the brain is shut off because it's wanting you to feel and sense the emotion and the hardship that's taking place. So we're going to go to Lamentations 14 to 22. It says this: "My sins have been bound into a yoke. By his hands, they were woven together. They have come upon my neck, and the Lord has sapped my strength. He has handed me over to those I cannot withstand. The Lord has rejected all the warriors in my midst. He has summoned an army against me to crush my young men. In his winepress, the Lord has trampled the virgin daughter of Judah. This is why I weep, and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me. No one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed. Zion stretches out her hands, but there is no one to comfort her. The Lord has decreed for Jacob that his neighbors become his foes. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Listen, all you peoples, look upon my suffering. My young men and maidens have gone into exile. I called to my allies, but they betrayed me. My priests and my elders perished in the city while they searched for food to keep themselves alive. See, O Lord, how distressed I am. I am in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed, for I have been most rebellious. Outside the sword bereaves, and inside there is only death. People have heard my groaning, but there's no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my distress. They rejoice at what you have done. May you bring the day you have announced, so they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you. Deal with them as you have dealt with me. Because of all my sins, my groans are many, and my heart is faint." Our text begins by saying, "My sins are like a yoke." And the imagery there is just as you would put a burden or yoke, a pair of oxen together to do hard labor, to plow, or to work hard, my sins have become like a burden to me and I cannot bear it. It is too heavy. The Lord has sapped my strength. And we come to the book and we ask ourselves, well, what sins are we talking about? By the time we get here to the people of God at this time in the book of Lamentations, they're really a mess, actually. I mean, we know that the Lord in Exodus gave them the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments were given to them so that they might flourish. The commands were to serve no other gods, but serve God alone. And when we come to this point, the people of God have decided to serve all the other gods. They've decided to serve Baal and Asherah and commit rampant sexual immorality. They've decided that they're going to serve at times the god of Molech, who you would offer your children in the fire as a sacrifice to please the gods. We see that they're called out by the prophets for perverting justice. They're called out by the prophets for oppressing the marginalized. taking advantage of the poor. Those who cannot care for themselves, they are taking advantage of. And on the list actually goes. But it really comes to a head if you understand what the people have become when you look at one of the kings in Judah at the time. His name's Manasseh. And they sum up Manasseh this way. It says, the king Manasseh led the people to do more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any other of the nations that have come before the people of God. And then it kind of lists the things that he has them enter into. And it's a large list. But we're meant to get the picture is that the people of God have become more godless than the rest of the world around them. That although they know what it means to love the Lord their God, although they know what it means to follow God, their actions look completely different. And they are not a blessing to the nations. They have actually become an abomination to the nations. And God goes on in Lamentations, and the text goes on and it says, the Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. The Lord is righteous. The Lord has given the right way to live. You see, back in Deuteronomy, the Lord actually laid out before his people, before they entered into this land where they are, he laid out for his people and he said, if you will follow me, I have some things that you'll need to do for your flourishing. This is for your own good. And if you will follow me, I will bless you. You'll live at peace with one another. You'll have everything you need and you will flourish. But then God says, but if you will choose not to follow me, if you will rebel against me, I will curse you, and I will remove my hand of blessing from you, and your enemies will have their way with you. And so when we come to the book of Lamentations, what we have here is the Lord has removed his hand of blessing off of his people, and now their enemies are having their way with them, and there is much suffering. The Lord is righteous, and yet I rebelled against his command. That word command can sometimes feel a little bit distant. It's like a distant command that you heard somewhere, like something you would have read on the government Alberta's website of a command from COVID or whatever. It's like it feels very distant. This word in the Hebrew is not a distant word. It actually means I have rebelled against his mouth. And the picture we're meant to get is actually we are sitting with the Lord and he has spoken a very specific word to us. If you do this, I will bless you. And if you do this, I will curse you. And I will remove my blessing. It's as if we're right in front of him. It's like the time I was in the gym and I was coaching basketball, and I gave a very specific word to one of our players. And he looked at me, and he gave me a hand gesture, and he said, I will have nothing to do with that. And he ran out of the gym. That is the picture of what is happening here for the people of God. They have rebelled against the Lord. He has spoken right to them and they've said, no, we don't want any of it. And so here in the book of Lamentations, we don't find the blessing. We don't find joy and flourishing and abundant life. Here in the book of Lamentations, as we read it, we get depressed. We encounter pain and suffering and sorrow. And one of the tensions is as we come to the book is it can cause us to begin asking some questions. It can cause us to ask the question of, does God discipline all of our sin like he's doing here in Lamentations? So when we're suffering or we have pain in our lives, is that God's discipline? When we have a pandemic occur, Is that God disciplining the world or a natural disaster? Can we say, yep, that's God. He's doing some discipline here. And, you know, one of the things as I was doing some reading on this that I found was really helpful is a New Testament scholar named D.A. Carson, who's done some work around suffering, wrote a little article that I just found really helpful as I thought through how do we evaluate our pain in light of discipline. And I just want to read it to you. He says this, in any suffering or in any other event for that matter, God is doubtless doing many things. He says, perhaps thousands of millions of things, even if we can only detect two or three or a handful. And then he gives this example. A godly woman is diagnosed with cancer. What is God doing? He says, my brain can imagine several possibilities. At one level, he may be providentially allowing the effects of the fall to take their course, a constant reminder to the world that because of humanity's rebellion against God, sin has entered the world, and now it will mean that all humans will die and will have to meet God face to face for judgment. He may be preparing her for eternity. It's a great grace to know when you're going to die and prepare for it. He says he may be shocking her 20-something son who is living his life indifferent to the gospel to prod him into self-examination and repentance. He may use her testimony about the joy of the Lord even in the midst of suffering to call another of her children into vocational ministry. He may be using her as a way to teach people in her church what it looks like to die as a Christian, anticipating several other deaths in the next 2 years. He may be teaching her workaholic husband to slow down and care about his family and in principle other people instead of being endlessly busy. He may be sparing her from living long enough to witness the moral destruction of her daughter or even her own moral destruction. Her funeral may be the means by which several of the people she has been praying for will come to faith. Salvations for which she would happily give her life. And perhaps one of those people who come to faith will have a gift of evangelism that will touch many people's lives. And then he concludes by saying, or perhaps she is hiding some deep bitterness and hate in her life, and God is using this as a means to discipline her. He goes on to say, I've barely started making a list of the things God could be doing, and I have a small brain. But God could be doing any number of things. And so we cannot draw a straight line from suffering to discipline. Oftentimes, God is doing thousands of things. And yet sometimes, here in Lamentations, we see that God's people are being disciplined. And in their discipline, as we read their discipline, we hear over and over again, they are crying out. It says they're reaching out their hands and there is no one to help them. They cry out and there's no one to comfort them. If you paid attention to the words, it actually says, no one to comfort me. No one was there. And then it goes down to say, they say, oh Lord, I'm distressed within me. And it talks about, and my heart is disturbed because I have been most rebellious. When the people of God are in sin, they feel far from God. When we are in sin, we feel far from God because sin separates us from God. And oftentimes we cry out in our pain and the things going on for comfort because we don't like the effects of sin on our lives and we want comfort. We want God to show up. And God says, you know what? I'm actually near in a different way. I have a different gift for you. I won't give you comfort. I'm going to give you the unusual gift of a disturbed heart. You know, a disturbed heart is a gift from the Lord. It is a gift from God to be burdened over our sin because it is one of the ways that God moves us to come to the cross, to ask for forgiveness, to turn from our sin, and have right relationship with God and follow him. A disturbed heart is a gift from the Lord. A couple months ago, I had a call from a family who asked me if I would meet with their teenage son. And most of the time when these calls come out of the blue, you usually kind of check the boxes because it usually means they've caught their teenage son looking at pornography for the first or many time, and they're not really sure what to do. And so he's been caught. And so will you meet with him and talk to him about healthy sexuality, how God wants his sexuality? And so I kind of got how these times go. It's like it goes like this and this. Well, I show up to this time with this teenage boy, and I am absolutely blown away. I'm thinking we're going to be getting into the conversation of what we do when we're caught. And I usually tell people when they get caught, it's like, actually, that's a great gift to you too, because God loves you too much to let you keep going on like you have been. So let's see that as God's grace. But he didn't get caught. He said to me, as a young 12, 13-year-old boy, he said to me, no, I didn't get caught. He's almost... My heart was disturbed within me. And so I had to tell my parents. And I had to, and they said, I come talk to you because I want to be right with Jesus. A disturbed heart is a gift from God. When you go somewhere and you go spend time with friends or family and you find yourself, you slander or you gossip or you're ignorant about things and you get in the car and you drive on the way home and you got a pit in your stomach. That disturbed heart is Jesus coming near to give you a gift, to call you to come to the cross, to ask for forgiveness, to turn and follow him. When you commit a sexual sin that you knew was wrong and your heart is disturbed, that is God's gift to you to restore you and to restore me. And the beauty of the gospel is that we get the same Jesus when we come with our disturbed heart and we say, forgive us. Jesus' answer is the same. I say this to my kids all the time when they forgive. What does God say to you? Yes, I forgive you. Yes, I forgive you. He doesn't use the opportunity to heap on what a failure we've been. And you know, this is the fourth time this week. He says, yes, I forgive you. Now walk with me. Now walk with me. And the beauty of it is anyone, right? It could be the most extreme case. And right now when we're thinking about world events and we see what's going on, Putin could be watching today and in church today. And his heart could be disturbed. And he could come to the cross and ask the Lord for forgiveness. And the Lord would say, yes, I forgive you. Now follow me. You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And the interesting thing is it isn't just Putin who needs it. It's all of us. The same things happening over there, the same hunger for power or evil are in our hearts too. And when God gives us a disturbed heart, we can come. And he says, yes, welcome. Welcome. Turn from your ways and follow me. A disturbed heart is a gift from God. And yet one of the dangers for us here at Crossroads Church as followers of Jesus is to be living in sin or to be ignoring the voice of God to us, to be ignoring the things that he said from his mouth to us, and for our hearts not to be disturbed. One of the great dangers for us is to be greedy, to be proud, to be selfish, to be apathetic, and come and sit or come and be with the Lord, and for our hearts not to be disturbed. We could gather on a Sunday and hear words like, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, or words like, forgive as I've forgiven you, and not be disturbed by our slander or gossip or indifference toward others. It's a great danger. And much of the reason why the people of God in Lamentations are in the space that they are is because they have not been disturbed. For 200 years, actually, the Lord has been calling them. This discipline that comes to the people in Lamentations isn't overnight. This isn't a flippant decision by the Lord. The Lord, when he says, I am gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, yet I do not leave the guilty unpunished. He means it. He's slow to anger. By the time we get to the discipline here, it has been 200 years. 200 years of the Lord sending his prophets to the people of God saying, please, may your hearts be disturbed. Please return to the Lord. Please turn away from worshiping idols. Turn away from perverting justice. Turn away from your sin and follow me. And for 200 years, the people of God have sat and their hearts have not been disturbed. And I wonder for us, as we sit here and the book of Lamentations speaks to us, where do our hearts need to be disturbed? Where do we need to be awakened to be right with the Lord? Not just for the sake of being right with the Lord, but the sake that we might flourish, that his name might be lifted high and that his kingdom might come. Where do you find your heart disturbed today? As we think about the text and what's happening in Lamentations, there's a couple ways that we could respond to this piece of scripture. Is yes, we have an individual poet who is writing, who as individuals we could respond because we feel like our hearts are disturbed because there is something that the Lord has been speaking to us about over the last couple years. Maybe it's even over COVID. He's been asking us to live a certain way. He's been asking us to be faithful in a certain way. And our hearts have been hard. And maybe there's something specific that we as individuals need to bring. I know I took some time this morning and I have something specific that I need to bring to the cross and put it in today as a way to respond that, Lord, I am my heart is disturbed. A way we could respond is we could come to the cross and put a, a card in that's telling him where our hearts are disturbed. There's cards for you to write on in the chair in front of you. You could come and put a tear in on your personal way that you maybe haven't been listening to the Lord, and you take it as time to repent and say, Lord, forgive me, and I am going to turn and follow you. We could do that as individuals today. But more so than that, this is a communal thing here in Lamentations. The people of God have not been who God's called them to be. And one of the ways that we could respond today as a congregation is to do something what we would call a communal lament, where we admit that as the church of Crossroads here in the city of Red Deer, we have not been the light of the world like we should have over these last 2 years. Where we could admit that on behalf of our community, that we could say, actually, there's fractures among us. There's disunity among us. We've turned inward during this time. We've been apathetic. Whatever those things would be, we could actually come on behalf of the community, you could come and say, Lord, would you forgive us? There's a promise in Chronicles that says, if my people collectively will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. The way we could respond is communally coming and saying, Jesus, would you forgive us? And so there's the stations that you could come and you could do that down here and write out a communal prayer of something you want to admit. But then there's also, we've got a new little station today that comes out of a prayer from David in Psalm 51 when he recognized that he has sinned. And so you could do this on behalf of yourself or on behalf of the community here at Crossroads. And the psalm is Psalm 51. It says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then it concludes, and restore unto me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. There's cards up here with that prayer that you could grab as a prayer to pray this week, that as we repent, that the Lord would fill us and restore us the joy of his salvation. You could take that card, but then you come to the station and someone will pour hyssop water over you and you just symbolically can wash your hands and agree with the Lord that he'd wash you and that he'd wash our church. And then I'd like it if we didn't end that way. Because when we have a time of repentance, there's this interesting thing that happens is there is both grief because of our sin, grief because we have not been who we ought to be, and the moment of grief, but then it turns, because we empty ourselves and we leave our sin at the cross, and it stays there. It doesn't leave with you. It stays here. And so the invitation then to come, and we'll have the prayer team for it, and they just like to pray that you be filled with the Spirit. As you empty your sin, that what would come and fill you with the Spirit and the power of the Spirit would come on you to follow the Lord, and the Lord would give you his Spirit to sustain you this week. I think that's how we could best respond to God's word today. Let me pray for us. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you that a disturbed heart is a gift from you. And Father, I want to ask that you'd forgive us. You forgive us for this season and the things that we've done and the things that we've left undone. Father, as a church, we so long to be the light of the world, but we have fallen short in lots of ways. Father, I admit that I have been proud. And I confess that I have been critical. And I have said things through these times that I know have brought your heart pain. So, Father, would you forgive us? And would you look to us? And would you heal our land, Lord? Amen.